Hey everybody, it's Shaman Sister Sin, and you're listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by littleshaman.com. I want to thank everybody for tuning into my live show this past Sunday. It was a lot of fun. Thanks everybody for the questions, comments, and suggestions. If you want to catch my live show, it's every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hope to see you there. Today I want to talk to you about something that I've been being asked about for quite a while now, and they wanted me to do a podcast about it, and I think it deserves one. So that subject is empaths and codependency. You know, we hear a lot about empaths these days. There is definitely an awakening happening in the world, and a lot of people are experiencing things that they don't understand. There's a lot of confusion, and especially there's confusion with things that are similar but not the same. Empaths and codependents fall into this category. While there are some similarities, they are pretty different. Empaths who are unskilled or unable to control their receptivity can become codependents if they're not careful. So we will examine the differences between the two things and what you can do to heal from codependency. And that's whether you're an empath or not. So first of all, what is an empath? Empaths are people who are literally able to feel the emotions of others. They would be the opposite of a narcissist. They're nurturing, caring, sensitive. Empaths who are unaware of their gift might notice that strangers open up to them without solicitation, you know, without you asking them anything. Or they might notice that they can always accurately gauge the emotional tone of a room or a situation. Empaths are often able to tell right away if someone's sad or if they're hiding something. And actually, in fact, it's not uncommon for empaths to be referred to as human lie detectors. Empaths are not dependent on the other person or the other people for emotional sustenance, approval, or validation, though, which is a difference between them and codependents. The bond that empaths create with others is sometimes called telepathy. T-E-L-E-M-P-A-T-H-Y, and it's usually associated with spiritual, psychological, or physical healing. So what is a codependent? Codependent people are reliant on others for their emotional sustenance. Codependents can be empaths and they can bond with others, but codependency has nothing to do with healing. In fact, codependency is a wound that needs healing. Codependency occurs when someone's needs are not being met and then they become merged with the other person in an attempt to meet these needs. It's often described as that codependents don't know where they end and the other person begins. Codependency is unhealthy and dangerous because the codependent sacrifices their own well-being for the other person. They often feel trapped or guilted into doing things that they would rather not do. This can cause resentment and anger or, you know, feeling like they're being taken advantage of. Now, the good thing is codependency is a largely self-inflicted problem, and it is very fixable in a non-personality disordered person. Many times, enablers of mental illness and addiction have codependence problems. Codependency is sometimes seen as controlling or manipulative as well. It can be detrimental to the other person, as a matter of fact, such as in cases of a parent constantly giving money to a drug-addicted child. Codependency is a prominent personality trait in the covert narcissist. I have an episode of this show that goes into detail about the personality traits that covert narcissists have. So if you need a little guidance in that area, go ahead and check that out. So as we can see, there are similarities between codependents and empaths. Both are extraordinarily sensitive to the feelings and needs of others. Both are caretakers, and both are what we would consider helpers. But there is a very big difference. Codependency is destructive and harmful to a person and their relationships, whereas empathy is the exact opposite of that. It's helpful. There are other differences too. One of these differences is that empaths generally have healthy, strong boundaries between themselves and other people because, you know, empaths need them. They're very, very important for empaths because empaths feel other people's feelings so deeply and connect with other people so strongly that those boundaries are absolutely necessary in order to hold on to your own identity. Codependent people generally do not have good boundaries between themselves and other people. That's what causes the inability to tell where they end and the other person begins. So, and as I said, boundaries are necessary in order to protect ourselves from unhealthy interactions or from being what's called engulfed by another person's personality and losing our own identity. But codependents have a huge amount of trouble with that. Another difference is in how they respectively process another person's feelings and behavior. An empath will read the behavior and offer insight if needed or asked, but they will not feel personally affected. A codependent will feel responsible for the other person's feelings or behaviors, and they are personally affected. They're often unable to say no to things, and they have trouble separating their own feelings from the other person's feelings. This is because of their difficulty with boundaries. When there's no boundary, there's no buffer or delineation between the self and the other person. Boundaries are guidelines, rules, or limits that a person creates to identify for themselves what are reasonable, safe, and permissible ways for other people to behave towards them and how they will respond when someone steps past those limits. Like you might say, oh, you crossed a line. That means someone has breached your boundary and you're not going to put up with that. One of the biggest differences besides boundaries between the empath and the codependent is in their goals and driving forces. The driving force of the codependent is often fear. Where empaths are generally able to communicate their feelings and boundaries clearly, codependents, again, they have a lot of trouble with that because they fear the other person's reaction and, more deeply, the possibility of approval and love being taken away from them as a result of not doing what the other person wants. This is a toxic situation that results in the codependent saying, doing, or agreeing to things that they're not okay with. That is why you find a lot of codependents and narcissists together. The narcissist plays on that. We often find guilt at the bottom of that behavior as well. For example, let's say a mother has meshed with a child emotionally and all she can see are his feelings. She would feel guilty because she works so much, and so she feels that means she's not a very good mother, so she gives the child whatever he wants. She knows that's not productive or healthy, but she can't seem to stop. And now whenever she doesn't give in, the child rages until she does. As the child gets older, he sees that underlying guilt and he hits that button every time he wants something. When the mother says, no, I'm not going to give you money because you'll buy drugs with it, he says, well, I wouldn't need drugs if I ever had a mother who was there for me. I hate you. You know, if she gives him what he wants, he'll stop saying that he hates her. Her son hating her is her worst fear come true, and she just can't stand against it, especially because he's in so much pain on top of that. So she gives him the money, reinforcing the cycle for the 1,000th time. She mistakenly believes that stopping her son's emotional upset and her own makes her a good mother. That is how the cycle continues. The goals of the two personalities are different as well. Empaths are generally interested in healing and helping others, whereas codependents at the bottom of their behavior are interested in having their own needs met because they cannot do so by themselves. The empath's end goal is generally to help, whereas the codependent's end goal is generally to be loved. Codependents often believe their goal is to help. We can see the true goal in the way that codependents will often support or enable behavior that actually hurts the other person. If you were trying to help, you would not do that. Like giving a drug addict money, as we said, or making excuses for a partner's dangerous or risky behavior. These are things that a healthy empath would not do. Empaths generally will not support or engage in emotionally unhealthy situations, but codependents often do. This is because the codependent mistakenly believes that the ends justify the means. You know, if they have to suffer in order to feel needed or loved, they'll do it, and they cannot stand against that even if they know it's wrong. This is a sign of damage and hurt, not love, and it needs to be addressed. Codependents often suffer from self-image and self-esteem problems too, as well. They may believe someone will not love them or like them if they don't sacrifice unfairly, or they may feel that they have no value without the other person. Again, This is a sign of damage. It's a sign of a wound that needs to be healed. Approval and validation from others should not be so important that a person will cause harm to themselves to get it, or allow or cause harm to the other person. We see that in borderline personality disorder all the time, as well as the manipulation of other people because of fear. You know, if you agree to something to try to make someone like you, even though you don't really want to do it. Manipulation of others through deceit or withholding of feelings is still manipulation. And even if it seems harmless or for the greater good, it's not. Relationships need honesty and boundaries to be healthy and happy. Empaths generally become codependent when they don't have good boundaries established. Strong boundaries are essential for everybody, but they are imperative for the empath. Because the empath feels things so deeply, there needs to be a clear line between the self and other people, our own feelings and other people's feelings, our own personalities and other people's personalities. When these boundaries are blurred or don't exist, enmeshment occurs. Enmeshment is when two or more people are in a relationship and the personal boundaries are unclear or don't exist, where they become basically part of each other. And enmeshment is very, very strong with an empath. That is actually the dynamic between the empath and the narcissist. It is an unhealthy, unsustainable situation where both parties end up feeling trapped and unhappy because nobody feels like they can hold on to their own identity. One thing I want to make very clear is that the establishment of boundaries does not mean that you don't care. It does not mean that. You may be accused of that when you start trying to create boundaries and enforce them, but it does not mean that. So I just want to make that really, really clear. The enforcement and establishment of boundaries does not mean that you don't care. You can care about somebody while still remaining your own person. And this is very important because even if the empath is not a codependent, they can become enmeshed with a codependent if boundaries are not kept strong and inflexible. And especially codependents such as pathological narcissists will push for enmeshment because they don't feel secure without that. This must be guarded against, and boundaries are how we do that. This is why it's very, very important not to fall victim to what's called boundary ambivalence. This happens when we set a boundary, but we don't enforce it. We may all be guilty of that at some point in time, and we're all people, and we're all human beings, and we all make mistakes, but it's really, really important to try to keep your boundaries because, you know, you're talking about your self-respect here. If you don't enforce your boundary, it tells the other person that you're not really serious about respecting yourself, and they don't have to be serious about respecting you either. When you say, if you cheat on me again, I'm leaving you, but then you stay in the relationship when they cheat on you again, you have just told your partner that you don't really mean what you're saying and you don't have to be taken seriously. You're essentially saying, I don't respect myself and you have permission to treat me badly. People only treat us the way we allow them to treat us. So if you don't take your word seriously, nobody will, and no relationship is worth your self-respect. It's just not worth it. Relationships are a two-way street. You have to respect the other person and they have to respect you. If you're worried that you might be codependent, the best thing you can do is take a personal inventory. You have to be really, really honest in this inventory of yourself. Why are you in this relationship? Do you feel like you are sacrificing for other people all the time? Are you able to meet your own needs or are you relying on the other person to do that for you? Do you speak up when you're unhappy with something or you don't want to do something? Do you always feel trapped or guilted into things you don't want to do? Do you feel taken for granted or that you always need to fix everything? Do you anticipate the needs of others? That one right there in particular is a red flag for codependency. Empaths generally do not attempt to learn what others need and supply that for them. But codependents do that very, very often. It's important to identify the problem as well as your role in the problem so that you can work on the solution. Again, people only treat us the way we allow them to treat us. Denial is very common with codependency, but we are responsible for our own behavior and our own feelings, so accepting your role in the problem can be difficult, but it's necessary. If you're not prepared to do that and to be really honest about it, you're not prepared to heal from codependency. In order to begin healing from codependency, you would want to identify the problem and your role in it. take a very honest inventory of yourself to find out why you are codependent, because there is a reason. And that would probably lead to addressing unresolved issues from your past. I have an episode of the show about how to deal with anxiety, depression, past trauma, negativity. You might want to check that out. You need to work on setting boundaries, and sticking to them is very, very important. Work on self-esteem and self-image. You got to work on identifying and meeting your own needs yourself. You have to work on saying what you mean and meaning what you say. You know, don't agree to things that you don't want to do. You have to be able to say, no, no, thank you. I'm doing something else. I don't really like that. You know, whatever it is. You got to learn to let go of guilt. Guilt is the codependent and the empath's kryptonite. You got to learn to deal with guilt and let go. You're only responsible for the actions and feelings of yourself, not other people. So I'm going to say that again, because this is really, really important in order to begin healing from codependency. Remind yourself that you are not responsible for the actions or feelings of other people. They are entitled to and responsible for their own actions and feelings, and so are you. If you agreed to something that you didn't want to do, and you feel bad about that, or you're there doing the thing that you didn't want to do, and you feel taken advantage, other people are not responsible for that. You should have said no. This is very, very important. Like I said, codependency is largely a self-inflicted problem. So it's very important to remember you are responsible for your own feelings. You want to practice assertiveness and get therapy if it's necessary. This can be a hard thing to heal from, and it's hard to put your foot down and say, no, I'm not doing that. No, thank you, I'm not interested, or whatever. Especially because when you start asserting boundaries, a lot of times people react very negatively to that. Let's say that you have a narcissist in your life, and you decide, I'm not putting up with this anymore. So when the narcissist starts throwing a tantrum, you just walk away and stop talking. Or maybe you tell them that they need to leave. You're going to see a big backlash from that. They're going to continue to insist that because you're not responding, you don't care. You have to stand against that. You have to say, it doesn't mean I don't care. It means I am not going to participate in this harmful behavior anymore. I don't like it, and you need to stop. When you stop, I will interact with you again. That's very, very important. And remember, for yourself, no matter what they say, it doesn't mean you don't care. You do not have to sacrifice yourself to prove that you care. It isn't necessary, or it shouldn't be. And if it is, then there's a problem in the relationship. Now, for empaths and other caretakers, it can also be necessary to find another area to focus your empathy on. That way your empathy is still getting exercised and you still are fulfilling that need, but you don't feel taken advantage of. So a situation where you are not so personally involved, such as volunteering, can really do wonders for changing perspective and fulfilling that need to help. Just remember going forward that it is necessary to protect yourself from the emotions of others. Otherwise, the problem is not going to be resolved. It's just going to start all over again. I have a few episodes of the show giving techniques of how empaths can protect themselves from the emotions of others. So if you need some help with that, check those out. If you have trouble setting boundaries, practice, practice, practice. Look in the mirror and say, I don't like that and I will not tolerate it. Or maybe, no thank you, I have other plans. Or, you know, different things like that. Try out being assertive in situations that you find yourself in. You will be surprised how many people can take no for an answer without getting upset. If someone does get upset, remember that it's a reflection of who they are, not who you are. You have the right to your own feelings and your own needs and your own likes and dislikes. And anyone who doesn't respect that is not someone who should be in your life. I hope that this shed a little bit of light on the difference between empaths and codependents and gave you some tools to get started with how you can begin healing from that. As always, you can leave your questions in the comments below or your suggestions, and I will be happy to answer you. Thank you for listening. May the Great Spirit bless you and have a wonderful day.